Welcome to Raw Dog.
This is a podcast where we discuss sex, intimacy, and our experiences working in the adult industry.
We're Evie and Axel, and we are a real-life Melbourne couple who work together as escorts.
Which means we've really seen some things.
This is extremely adult content, so if you're listening at your nan's house, maybe don't.
You've been warned. Let's go. So it turns out that I've had a sexual bucket list and I didn't even realize that until quite recently. And it's become a bit of a topic of conversation.
An experience, in fact.
Yeah. It has been some experiences.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've decided to come here today and talk a little bit more about bucket lists and what they mean to us. Yeah.
Who has them?
Who has them?
Who might have them and not even realize it?
And how we've incorporated bucket lists into our work as well.
Yeah, work and play.
Work, play.
Work and play. Lots of play.
Mm-hmm.
Let's jump in.
Let's do it.
So our conversation around bucket lists started quite recently when we had a booking with a man who had some special requests that he wanted to experience if he could.
He sure did.
And it's great because some of those things are things that we like to do as well and have recently been crossed off our own bucket lists in a way.
They have. Yeah, we can get into those juicy details soon.
We'll circle back. But it raised an interesting point. And it's like, do people have bucket lists? And I kind of come to understand that I've had a bucket list this whole time. I just wasn't really aware of it. And it's interesting to reflect, like, why didn't I own that? Why didn't I actually talk about that before? And you know, a lot of it, I think, comes back to conditioning that we're not meant to want certain things, that it might not be okay to want certain things.
Yeah, and sexuality and shame and the combination of these things and what bucket lists mean and they don't mean.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting conversation piece, and there's definitely a few different ways we can look at it.
Yeah, I think from a man's perspective, or, you know, we're probably just a boy when we start to collect information for a bucket list.
Yeah.
You know, like, we get a lot of our ideas from porn, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
We see things and we go, well, that's pretty intense or crazy.
Yeah.
Would I ever want that? And I think for me, at least, there was a belief that, well, I can't have that. That's rude, or it's wrong, or no woman's going to want to do that with me, or, you know, all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say that my life experiences in the first years of my adulthood reinforced that belief. Like,
it was a good chunk of time there that really reinforced it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of decades.
Yeah.
Probably.
A couple of decades. Yeah.
But having sort of stepped out of that and started being around people that are more open minded, more adventurous, and willing to explore different ideas and different themes, it kind of dawned on me that, well, maybe some of these things that have been on my list, so to speak, are not only allowed to be there, they're
welcomed.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a really interesting one because I think prior to me entering the sex work industry, would have had a very different view on a majority of topics, including bucket lists. I think thinking of through the perspective of it coming from porn and it being this kind of, like, you know, just gonna be like a dude and show off and have my bucket list ticked off. Like, that was the energy before I really understood what it meant to a lot of people. In fact, everyone I've come across who's had a bucket list and everyone that I've engaged with and what it means to them. And it's in my experience, and I'm not saying this is everybody, but in my experience, and I'm going to talk about men specifically here because I think that's probably more of the base of where I've had discussions around bucket lists, and we've had discussions around bucket lists. But seeing that it can actually, it can be incredibly empowering to feel like you can tap into your deepest desires and experience it in a safe way, in a way where it's welcomed, and a way that, safe. You're welcome to show up in that way, and not shamed for it. And really being able to tap into like, what do I want? What would I want? How can I experience this in a way that doesn't feel like I'm dirty or shameful? Because that is the conditioning. Like if you want something sexually, and again, I'm not a man. This is speaking from experience with men and what I've heard, and I'll let you touch more on this shortly because you are a man. But there is a lot of shame attached to the idea of wanting something that might be considered perverted or hypersexualized or hedonistic, right? So, yeah I'm going to let you take the lead on this one.
There's quite a bit to unpack there.
There is, but let's unpack it.
Yeah. I want to emphasize as well that when you say safe and without judgment in a professional setting, obviously there's no expectations from a service provider of anything. There's nothing to judge.
No.
Whereas in a relationship, when you ask your partner of 20 years or whatever it might be, hey, I'd like to try this thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot there. What does it mean that they want that? What does it say about them? What if I can't give that to them?
Yes.
And if the response is anything other than favorable, you can feel that as rejection.
Absolutely.
And shame can come up. And you know, like for a person with insecurities, that can be doubly like a negative feedback.
Absolutely. And can I just jump in there and say that I think that is why perhaps we've come into contact with clients who are looking to have bucket lists ticked, me individually, us together with clients, because there is this sense of this isn't going to be okay. How can I access this safely? And what we'd really like to do is be able to empower the world to be able to communicate with their partners, to be able to have this with their partners. But realistically, that's not always going to be the case due to varying factors. So for us to be able to provide that to someone in a way that's very loving, very empowering, and very, what's the word I'm looking for? On their terms within our boundaries is delicious.
It's a real offering because it's something that's pretty difficult to receive in any other form. You know, especially as a man, because of the way things are, if you go out and meet women that don't know you yet, they don't trust you, they don't feel safe with you, you can't ask for risky things that usually. If you're dating someone, you're getting to know them, you're trying to build on something, put your best foot forward, you probably don't want to open up your freaky box of toys, right? And the further you get to the point where you eventually build safety and you feel like, okay, I can broach this, but you have then almost formed a connection around that not being part of the conversation. So you're then introducing a new risky element to a status quo, which is free of those things. So it's kind of like the longer you wait, the harder it becomes. And this is more at stake.
Exactly. But this is a whole nother topic in itself about opening up to someone in order for them to see you authentically, right? And we're not going to touch on this. This will be another episode. But this is you and I immediately went straight to the core of who we are, because we're a bit alien like that. And we've done a lot of work to get there. It's not the norm. So being able to open up sooner in order to know if you are aligned with your values and who you are as people actually is a really beneficial thing, but it's incredibly scary and most people won't step into that territory. They'll kind of test it out and maybe put a little bit of a mask on in order to have the relationship, because that they're like, well, this is as close as I'm going to get to what I want. I'd rather have a bit of a mask on. But again, let's touch on this another time. But it's something to think about.
Well, when I created my bucket list, I believe this is how I sort of experienced it looking back. But you say something, you vibe with it. Is that because you're taught that you should vibe with it? Or is it because you really do vibe with it? And which part of it is of you is it that vibes with this? Like, is this some kind of twisted hedonistic thing that has no place in a conscious relationship? Is this something that's kind of like, okay, this is great for fantasy and self-pleasure, but you probably don't want that to be part of your actual experiences with your partner? Do you need to experience it in an anonymous setting where there is no judgment because these people don't know you, you're not going to run into them? So like for me, with some of the things that were on my list, as it turns out, I didn't know. Sometimes you almost have to experience something to know. Like, you know, like, oh, I've been thinking about ice cream my whole life. Then you taste ice cream, you're like, I wasn't really as good as I expected to be, but yeah. I might have that on occasion, but it's not the be all and end all. Sometimes you try something new and it's like, oh, ice cream. Yeah. That's got to be part of my daily routine.
Like I never thought about trying ice cream before, and here I am trying ice cream. And I'm like, how did I not think about ice cream until this very moment? This is incredible.
Yeah.
It's so funny, isn't it?
It can be a bit like that.
Mm.
And a couple of things that I've experienced have become
ice cream.
Yeah. Or maybe you think it's like coffee. You want coffee every day.
Yeah,
right?
You too.
And whereas others are more like ice cream. I probably only eat ice cream once a week. Yeah, not every day anyway.
Often.
Yeah. On a warm day, let's say.
Yeah, on a warm day, gotta.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, like who and how, because some bucket list items might involve many people.
They
for
may.
Example.
And that is strategically impossible when you don't have access to
people.
Yeah.
Or if you're in a monogamous relationship for a lot of people.
And that's not an agreement that you've made, a certain social agreement that you don't involve with other people. And how do you access that? Do you decide that is something that is kept to fantasy?
Yeah.
Or do you have an agreement within the relationship? Do you leave the relationship? People go as far as cheating in relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And there's multiple ways to, you know, we don't condone any of the methods that other people may go with in order to have those needs met. But if someone feels that there is a core need in the exploration of themselves, that they do go to those lengths at times. But I think now where we should go is down to bucket list items.
So how is a bucket list created? Like what do you add to it and why, right?
Yeah.
Like for me, this wasn't conscious. It was just something I realized almost when I saw someone else have something,
right,
or I realized that somebody else wanted a particular experience from you or with you, and I'm like, oh, but I haven't had that experience. Why have I not had that experience?
Yeah.
Is that like, should I have that experience? And it's like, have I actually been secretly fantasizing about this all along, but never had the thought to ask for it?
Because,
and then why?
Yeah.
And these sorts of things have opened up possibilities. We've explored some things and some of those things have been really awesome. And if somebody now comes and wants to have that experience with you or with us, it's a different thing, because for me it's like I'm not feeling FOMO or jealousy or like I'm somehow left out or anything, because I have explored that.
You have access to those fantasies, to those bucket list items, essentially, which enables you to feel, I guess, compassion for other people and experiencing their own bucket list items when that's incorporated into myself or us.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it doesn't hold a charge for me in the sense of like, why am I feeling something about this?
Yeah.
You know, like I remember when we first met, the idea of you doing a booking, say, with two other guys, even if they were regular clients that you knew and trusted and had other experiences with, that for me would have been a burning issue. And I couldn't put my finger on why would that be.
Yeah, very challenging to think about that being a potential thing, even though you are cognizant that it's my job and that I would be doing this to, you know, meet the needs of somebody who's paid for a service.
And an experience that I've had maybe in the past, not with you at that point, but with other people. So, but us having had that experience, and that could have been something that's like, okay, it was nice. Maybe we'll do that again somehow, but it's not a regular thing. As it probably actually turned out, it's become more of something that we both actually...
Oh, we love it.
Yeah.
I love me a man sandwich.
Yeah, you keep saying that.
I do.
You find yourself in them.
I do quite a bit. It's been great.
Yeah.
But it took us having that experience together in a man sandwich in order for you to feel at peace with internally about that, because you're like, it's a part of you in your younger years that didn't have access to experiences like that. And there was a sense of like, I'm not valuable enough to have this thing, or I'm not important enough to have this thing due to, you know, insecurity or the conditioning or, you know.
And sometimes it can even be sort of self-denial a bit, like me thinking, well, why would I want that? What does it say about me for me to want to have an experience with my partner and another man, for example?
Yeah.
A lot of people would judge that and put labels and descriptions on that and probably talk about me in ways that...
That's how you've been conditioned.
Yeah, a younger person I would not have been comfortable with. So I would have just put that out of my mind and And then when the prospect of that comes forward, yeah. it's like out with that comes all this stuff that's in that box with it, you know, like,
what, was about like what else is in the box? Yeah. Oh my gosh.
No, it's a big box.
Oh, everyone. it's a chest at this point.
Yeah. It's like a spare room.
It's a mansion.
Yeah. But it's interesting because I think you mentioned, it might have been yesterday or very recently, that you got an inquiry from two guys. Like, it wasn't something.
Yeah, it was yesterday. Yeah.
And it wouldn't be something that you were going to accept, even if they were in Melbourne, I think. But,
no, yeah. they weren't local. Yeah. And yeah, for me, I don't know these potential clients. I'm not going to put myself in a position by myself where I'm going to work with two men I don't know. That's just my protocol.
Yeah.
No shade on anyone who does, but that's just for me. It feels safer to not take bookings with two men I haven't met before.
Yeah.
But that would be something earlier on that would have been really difficult
to hear.
A year ago,
I would have found that very challenging.
Yeah.
There would have been triggers. But yeah, yesterday there was nothing. So it's funny how kind of like exploring parts of yourself make you feel very at peace with other people exploring things. Like for me, I don't tend to feel jealousy as the dictionary description of jealousy, but more envy or FOMO, or kind of like, well, why should they have that experience? Or how come I haven't had that experience?
Yeah.
And so much of that like comes back to, well, I didn't ask for that experience.
No.
I was never going to get that experience if I didn't ask for it.
Ask for it, of course.
I may not have got it, even if I did ask for it, depending on my circumstances. Mm-hmm. But it was a self-inflicted abstinence of that.
Of course,
So I think the healthiest thing here and one of sort of the things to take away from this conversation for me is acknowledging that, yes, there is such a thing as a bucket list. Like, we use that word,
it's sort of like
a checklist, but let's just say that we all have unexpressed desires.
Desires is a great term for it. And I think it would be the more, I guess, femme terminology for a bucket list would be exploring desires. We've talked a little about this. Bucket list is a very... It's like it's a dude thing. It's a dude thing. Yeah. I've got a bucket list.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with it. It's just a more masculine tone, right? Whereas I haven't heard someone femme presenting say, oh, I've got a bucket list.
Yeah.
Maybe if they're referring to travel, that's about it. But sexuality wise, I think it's more, I have a desire for, or I've tapped into, more of what I want. And it's I guess, softer language. Which is just conditioned, and there's nothing wrong with either way of expression, as long as the desires that you're, trying to have met or are looking into are, respectful of the people involved. So,
yeah.
But it's interesting you talked about FOMO and about envy, and I think that if we look back under the layers and go backwards, there's a reason for this. It's not just you generally can't find compassion in other people's joy. It's because there was something lacking for you in your younger years.
Yep.
And I think it's really important to address that as not like you're just someone who can't, unless you have.
Mm.
Like, it's not about like, oh, I don't get it, therefore they don't get it or you don't get it. That's not your energy at all. Your energy is very much about wanting to, be all loving and I think based on what you've told me about your experiences, it's just because you missed out on so much when you were younger.
Yeah.
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 But not just because of bad luck.
No, it
was self-inflicted because of low self-esteem and exactly. I didn't believe that I wasn't valued enough to have that
And you probably fell into a little bit of victimhood without even realizing it at the time, and not in a negative way. In a human way.
Yeah.
Like, if you feel like you've been denied things and that you can't ask because you don't feel good enough, it feels like you're in a position of being a victim. Mm-hmm. And it's a really common place to be, and there's no shame in that. It's a very human thing.
Yeah.
And it's like acknowledging that that's okay, but how do you then find yourself in a more empowered position, which is where you are now?
Yeah.
And you've done the work. You've done a lot of work to get to that point and be able to have have this relationship, have these experiences, have the connections you have, the friends we have, to be able to work in this field and offer that to other people and feel really safe and really empowered by being able to offer it as well as receive it. So I just want to shine a little light on that.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a challenging thing because there's several ingredients in that cake.
Yeah. We love our cake.
For me, and I think it'll be similar for a lot of people, obviously you have to get to a point where you can actually own what it is you want to desire. You can express what you want to desire, and hopefully if everything works out, you can experience those things mm-hmm. one way or another.
Yeah.
And like fully conscious that that is incompatible with a lot of people's lives. It was incompatible with my life from not that long ago, you know?
Yeah.
You know, some of us have monogamous relationships with partners who are not interested in the kind of desires that you have. Mm-hmm. You might turn out, you might not have known this when you met.
Yeah.
But that's a potential limitation, and we have to sometimes make decision like what's the value of this for me? What's the value of keeping my relationship?
What's the trade-off? Yeah.
Because you might have a mortgage and children and all sorts of
things. You might not discover that you have these inclinations or desires or bucket list items until you're, 10, 20 years into a marriage, and you're like, whoa, hang on a second. I didn't know this at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because as a human being, we, regardless of the commitments we make, at the beginning of a marriage, let's say, that doesn't mean that you now have to stay stuck in who you are at that point going forward. We're human beings. We evolve. We evolve on so many levels. Whether or not we like it, that's just the nature of it. There is evolution. It's a matter of if you grab onto it and go with it or if you kind of stay stuck. There is evolution even for people who stay stuck, but they're kind of trapped by themselves. And if you later on find out that you're, tapping into these desires that you're like, well, I didn't know at the beginning of this marriage or this relationship that I had this, but I'm suddenly realizing I do. And like, yeah, that can be really challenging when you're in a relationship with someone who may be very against those particular
ideals. A lot of people realize that they're gay when they're married.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah.
Luckily, that's not a big thing, but in that situation, are you going to honor your actual sexuality, or are you going to honor your commitment to the person that you promise to spend the rest of your life with? Maybe you're raising children with.
I mean, some people are able to do both in those situations, but it's the rarity where they go, look, I'm gay, and they have an agreement in which they continue to co-parent their children and they seek out other relationships that are romantic and have a base of, and that's beautiful, but that is the rarity. And I think it probably comes up in relationships with bucket lists where it's probably less likely that your partner or the partner is going to be on board with these things if you're coming from maybe a more kind of closed off sexual state and wanting to open that up. So then it really does come down to like how do you have this conversation with a partner? And I mean, we could probably cover this at some point, conversations with your respective other about opening up desires in a way that is respectful and safe for all involved. I think it's a really important conversation because some people feel absolutely smothered by the fact that they can't experience their deepest longings. Sex isn't just this like flippant, dirty thing that should just be like, well, you shouldn't want that because it's sexual. It's dirty. Like, why don't you value your relationship over sex? And it's forgetting or not taking into account that sex has been shamed for how long now? Like, there is a real shame around sexuality, but I really disagree with it personally. I feel that sex is incredibly innate, incredibly empowering, incredibly healing, so long as everyone involved is consenting and aware and communicated within the experiences, within the desires. I think it's an incredibly wonderful thing, and it is, for many people, a real base of their relationship and connection, and it helps connect even deeper. I mean, in our experience, we connect on multiple levels, but sexuality can be you can transcend if you tap into just the absolute kind of raw truth of what you want to experience with yourself, with your partner. Like it can take you to another level of relating and connection. So bucket list items, back to that.
Before we do, now I would love to hear you talk about what some of the things that are on your bucket lists now and what's been on your bucket lists, what we've experienced together.
Bet you would.
That were your desires. But I'm conscious that this is going to take a while and we're going to need a whole new episode just to cover our lists.
Yeah, both of our lists. Yeah. Not just mine. Mine might be long, but yeah, we need to touch on yours too. So I think we'll save the juicy details for part two. You've got the fundamentals here, so you can understand what bucket lists are and what they mean to us. So we'll crack into the juicier details in part two. Yeah?
Absolutely. Hope to see you back.
Yes, yes, we'll see you there.
Yeah, if you liked it so far, you're going to love the next book. Always.
Yeah, it's going to be hot.
See you soon.
Bye. That's all for today's episode. Thanks so much for joining us.
If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review, subscribe, and share this episode with a friend.
You can find us on our socials or head to our website for more information. Our links are in the show notes.
We'll see you next time.
We can go again if you want.